Now we have Chris here to share God with us, so thank you.
I was really blessed hearing those manifestations. It just blows me away. Like when you're teaching on something and then you just hear things like, I don't know. It's pretty crazy. But I just wanted to share a little bit. And when I say a little, it's a little bit because I actually had to get to the point where when I asked God to like open my eyes up to this area in the Word, it was almost overwhelming. I had a time to stop like this. So I had to actually just like bring it down to a very small, you know, level because it's just too much stuff. But just a little bit, I'm just touching on how and why we're so important to God. It's just a little bit because it's just too much. But before I do that, we know how important Jesus Christ's life is. I mean, it's a no-brainer. Everybody knows that. What his life represented, what it did for mankind, everything. So we're going to skip that for a second. And I wanted to just look real quick at the apostles. So turn to Mark chapter 16. I just want to look at them for 1 second. Because I was being more on the subject of importance. We know about Jesus Christ. Let's just look at them for a second. This kind of blew my mind. And to everybody else, it might just be like, yeah, I knew that. But I just never seen it this way. It never really hit me this way until I realized how important they were. In Mark 16, verse 15, and this is when Jesus Christ was in his resurrected body, and he had spoken to the 11 at this time. And it says, oh, let me get my glasses on. Can't see. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Okay, so here's a group of guys. I mean, they're technically, even though they're apostles, they're people. They're normal people. They're not, you know, anything supernatural about them. And Jesus Christ talked to them, and he kind of told them what he wanted them to do and what to do. And they had a choice, right? Technically, and he wasn't even there anymore after that, you know, whenever it was. I don't know if it was right then, but soon after, you know, he was gone. So here they are. They can do anything. They go back fishing. They can go, you know, they're not going to wash their car because they have cars. But whatever they were, you know, doing, they could have did anything. They didn't have to do that. Nobody's forcing them. It was freedom of will. But they did. They right away went and preached the word. And look at Acts for a second. Acts chapter 1. Just two more things to do with these guys. But I don't know. It just... Acts chapter 1, verse 5, it says, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And in verse 8 it says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and in the uttermost part of the earth. You know, I'm thinking, did they realize how big their lives were? Like, that they would affect, you know what I'm saying? Like, which wasn't just like a little immediate thing, like, okay, we're going to speak the word and, you know, get people born again and teach them the word, and they were going to get, you know, this new thing. Because also I was thinking of Wesley's teachings, how whom it's addressed and how he was talking about it's important to know who is what's written to us and what's, you know, whom it's addressed. Well, now we're getting to us here, you know, where this is like a change of mankind at this point, you know? They were going to change the life of mankind forever. So Jesus Christ did, we know that, but also they did, because here they are carrying out something, their instructions that, you know, they followed, and some cool stuff was about to happen. And in chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind and filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit," or Holy Ghost, "and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." So that day finally came. And then from that point, not only were they filled with the Spirit of God, but what really amazed me is that here it is over 2,000 years later, right? It's, you know, I don't know exactly, but I know it's just over probably 2,000 years later. Think of the New Testament. This wasn't even written, right? The New Testament wasn't, the revelation of the New Testament wasn't even written at that point. So this little group of guys who followed instructions, listened to what Jesus Christ said, spoke the word, here is the utter most part of the world. At that time, they didn't even know of America. You know, I mean, I guess for the most part. And, you know, here it is over 2,000 years later. And not only all this revelation came either from directly from one of those writing it or from the speak, you know, people that got born again after that and eventually who wrote the book of, you know, John and this or whatever, you know, and here we are because of what they did. And it's just think how important their lives were. It's crazy. It's ridiculous how important their lives are. And at that point when Jesus Christ talked to them, they kind of had a decision. You know, like I said, it was freedom of will. They didn't have to. They were just like, that's cool, yeah. You know, we'll see. You know, whatever. Let's watch the football game, whatever. But, you know, it's amazing. So their lives were ridiculously important. Now, that was just that. So I wanted to look at us for a second. So whom it's addressed. So look at Romans. You know, this is all stuff we all know, but it's just the reason why I want to go over it, because it just, like I said, how and why we're so important. So one of the reasons why we became important is because in Romans 10 and verse 9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Through 13. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, or disappointed, I believe. That's kind of what it means. For there is no difference between the Jew or the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we're all here, you know, because we believed that scripture. We believe God raised him from the dead. But at that point of our life, changed our life. I mean, at that point of us believing that, it changed our lives, because we just went from natural man, like the world, good or bad in the senses world, however you want to look at it. But now we got spirit, you know, we're born of God's spirit. And then look at John, 1 John chapter 3. So this is kind of, like I said, I'm just touching a little bit on how we became important. What made us important, you know? Like, how do we just get there? Because we all have talents. There's a lot of talented people in this room, in the senses realm, but in the spiritual realm, we're a lot more important to God. Just like the apostles. Alright, so in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. And beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So we know we're God's spirit, and now he says he's calling us sons of God, and we are sons of God. He made us that way. You know, nothing we did, we know that. But he felt, you know, that he could put that title on us because he gave us his spirit, and now we're sons of God. That's pretty incredible. You know, and we're saved. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I mean, these are just a few little things. I mean, there's a million things, but there's just a few things. I just chose these few things because of kind of the importance of the title rather than just everything he gave us, you know, because it goes on forever. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, which is us, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So now we're new on the inside. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Pretty big deal. John, how would you explain the ministry of reconciliation? Just in a
service of bringing other people back to God, you know, letting them know, here's how you get brought back to God.
Pretty big deal. Think about it. Within ourselves, sure, we fellowship each other, we love each other, and everything is here, but what about the world? What about the other people that are calling on the name of the Lord, calling for help, who need deliverance? How does God, you know, do that function? How does he get the word to them?
Works in us.
How important are we? We have that kind of ability that God's given us, the authority, that we can bring, he brought us back to God, to him, but we can speak the word to somebody and bring them out of darkness and deliver them, you know, into the kingdom of God, basically, by speaking to them about God. And you know, they're translated into, it's a big responsibility. It's a privilege, really, you know, it's a big responsibility, but it's pretty cool. And he calls us ambassadors. That was the other thing. We're ambassadors. You know, we have to see ourselves important too. You know, God knows we're important. He knows everything we have. He gave it to us. He knows we're fully equipped. We're actually explosive. We are, in a good way. We are explosive. Why do you think the adversary shivers at us technically? Because at any moment we walk with God and you know, operate the power of God, it's explosive. And there's a lot of categories, not just speaking a word. When we love with the love of God, you know, that's explosive. It's something that no one in the world could do. They can't do it. It's not even possible. They can, brotherly love, there's plenty of that. I mean, you know, and we do a good job at that, actually, I think, in this country. But the love of God or blessing someone, you know, that's something that because we're blessed with spiritual blessings, we can do that like no one else can do. Or ministering to somebody or praying for somebody, healing someone, casting out a devil spirit, any sort of deliverance, you know, is ministered through us. That's what God uses. He uses us to do that. And there's, you know, in Dennis's prayer and the manifestations, you know, just things I was listening to about, you know, the world being dark and perverse, and you know, it's needed. We're needed. We're like a handful of, say, sand on an entire beach. That's how big how small our little group of, say, born-again believers. Not just here, in churches too, but people who know the word and have the word. to be able to do that kind of works, you know? And look at Philippians chapter 2. So it's important that we see ourselves that essential to God, you know, and not in the flesh. I mean, we know that. It's not in anything like that, but it's what He made us inside us. So in chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." That's a privilege that we could allow God to work in us. You know, Allie was praying about, she wants to know what to do, the knowledge, the wisdom, you know. Well, guess what? We have knowledge and wisdom, and God will work in us and show us. That's the other thing. I didn't even mention that 2 seconds ago. We can walk by revelation, you know, and get revelation. God could talk to you and tell you what to do in a situation, about a person, about any situation, and the knowledge and wisdom. That's like incredible. That's something a natural person, no matter how smart and no matter how big their title is in this world, and if they don't have the Spirit of God, guess what? They can't do that. But He chose us, you know? So in this, He could work in us. And in verse 15, it says, "That ye may be blameless, harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation or age, among whom we shine as the lights of the world." So that's another thing we are. We're the light in a dark world. We are actually the only light in this world. Any born-again believer that has spirit is the only light in this world, right? So if there's going to be light, it's coming from us, really, you know? So, and it is a dark world. And my own opinion, it just seems darker and darker. I don't know if it's just me, but I don't know. I'm just amazed sometimes, but... So that's pretty cool. I thought of us being the lights of the world. And in Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 4, you know, I was thinking how God loved us so much to give us all this, and how He prepared for this, and He saw this happening, and He was excited about it. He had to be, because I don't think He would bother doing all this work and all these things, you know, He planned for something that really wasn't exciting to Him to see, you know? One of the things it says in verse 4, it says, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Being predestinated, in verse 5, to the adoption of children. And it was His good pleasure of His will. He, and in verse 6, He made us accepted. He, you know? I mean, it's just crazy. I'm just going to skip through some of this because I'm not going to. But in verse 8, "Wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence." I mean, He's given us so much equipment. You know, He's just like, it's amazing how much He gave us. How much we use is up to us, you know. It really is. I mean, we all know that. We know how much, you know, a lot of things keep us occupied, and I get occupied. But He did give us all this stuff. And at any given time, we choose to utilize it, use it, have fellowship, and just, it's explosive. "Having made known unto us the mystery of His will," again, according to the good pleasure which He had purposed in Himself, "that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in whom we also obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ." Again, check it out. He trusted in Christ, Christ pulled it off, right? He did. He trusted him. But yeah, God has foreknowledge, but still, it was all freedom of will, and he pulled it off. I'm sure he trusted in the apostles, too, to carry on to the, you know, that... In whom ye also trusted that after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after ye believed, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So God thinks we're that good that he even sealed us. You know what I mean? It wasn't even like, well, let's test this out. No, if everything goes right, everything goes good, maybe we'll let you, you know. He didn't. He just sealed us. It was just, it was a done deal. And we're sealed, so we can't lose it, which in the earnest of inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So that's pretty cool. And in verse, real quick, I just want to look at one. I don't want this to drag on, but verse 10, it says, another thing he calls us is his, for we are his workmanship or masterpiece, is the actual translation. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So he made us his masterpieces. I mean, God thinks very highly of us. Probably more than what we think of ourselves. Because I know I don't think the way he thinks of myself. But that's okay, because you know what? We go to the Word and we see it. And then we realize what he did in us. Because it's not a fleshly thing. It's a spiritual thing. And it's pretty cool. So these are just a few things I was thinking of.
Well, it's okay if you let it drag on. We don't mind.
Yeah. No, actually, there's only a couple more things. But I was thinking out of all this stuff, so... How and why, I was saying how I titled this, how and why we're so important. Well, let's look at real quick, just look at the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Verse 12. This always boggled me, how he could say something like this, but he did. Jesus Christ, the one who went around healing everybody, who walked on water, who raised people from the dead, who, you know, just did everything. Everything. Anything imaginable. Says in verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, I guess that's us, right? That's what it says in Romans, right? The works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the potential that's in us, you know, that we could do what he did in even greater works. I think, as far as I know, it was like he didn't speak in tongues because that wasn't available, and right, and I think it was getting people born again because that wasn't available, right? I think that's some of the greater works. I don't know if there's more, but some of it. But that's pretty cool. So all this stuff God made us and made us so important, there's actually a purpose to it, you know? And it's not just within us, because there's other people who are calling on God and need to hear God's word and be delivered, you know? I know it was amazing when I heard God's word the first time, you know, and, you know, how it changed my life. I know Lori, you know, the stuff she just, how the word delivered her life. I'm sure we all have a story, you know? Like how... You could be living with something for 25 years, and it could bind you, and then all of a sudden, few words, someone speaks, and the next thing you know, they get born again. The next thing you know, they're learning the word. Next thing you know, they're not dark anymore, they're light, you know, and their life is full, you know, it's full of joy. And then one more, that we already went here, but I just want to look at one more time, because now this makes even more sense, is verse in Mark 16. Chapter 16. Getting confused here. And just... And in 17 and 18, which we looked at before, but, you know, here are the signs. We are speaking in tongues, right? And healing, and people will get healed. And in verse 17 and 18 it says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. And they did, and they will continue to, right? People speaking in tongues, people getting healed, devil spirits getting cast out. And they, you know, this is a promise that he had said to them, that these are the signs that will follow. And here it is, you know, over 2,000 years later, and these things still happen. Mm-hmm. It could happen more and happen, you know, as we go to God and God tells us things. And in my name they shall cast out devils and speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents. I don't know about the serpent thing. That, you know, wait, we haven't took up any serpents. But anyway. And drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on sick, and they shall recover. So that's pretty cool, right? Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to close in Ephesians chapter 1. It just kind of, the reason why I want to close here is because this is just kind of like our heart, like, well, it's a prayer, but just what we could kind of believe, like pray and just ask God to open our eyes and just fill us with, you know, kind of thing like that. I don't know what you call it, but 1:17 through 19. It says, that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And that our eyes, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. So, you know, what is the hope of our calling? Like, what is our purpose, you know? I mean, we all do things in life. I mean, we all have jobs, we have this, families and stuff. But, you know, it's so much greater than that, too, you know? Our lives are so important to God. And he has no hands but ours, you know? He has no hands but ours. So if somebody's going to get healed, there's a good chance it could be from our prayer or, you know, from laying on hands. If someone's going to hear the word, it's probably going to be from, one, you know, a son of God speaking a word to somebody. So all this deliverance that God has to offer and everything is really going to be, you know, so from probably from us, you know, for the most part. And our lives are important in God's eyes. So that's it.
That was awesome.